Okay, today's daf is Mem Gimel. We're going to start at Mem Bet Amabet, where there's two dots. Okay, Bnei Amon Bau Benitzchono Shel Shovach. Okay, you see that about 10 lines, 12 lines from the bottom. So they came with Shovach. He was their leader. He was the Sar Tzavah, I think, of Hadad Ezer, I think was his name, if I remember correctly. Anyway, it was one of the rulers of Bnei Amon, so he was the Sar Tzava. K'tiv Shovach, u'k'tiv Shofech. Okay, it says, there's a different, again, the discrepancy between what it says in Shmuel and what it says in Divrei Yamin. So one place says Shovach, one place says Shofech. Rabu Shmuel, Chan Amar Shofech Shmuel. Remember, we're going to have this whole thing, right? What was his real name and what was the drash name? Chan Amar Shofech Shmuel. V'lama nikra Shmuel Shovach. Shasui k'shovach, he was so tall, he was like the pigeons' birdhouse. Right, the dove coat. Sorry, the dove coat. Right, so those very tall dove coats. V'chan amar shovach shmo, v'lama nikra shofech, shekolaro eoton nishpach lefanav kikiton. So it depends what exactly you translate this. They're missing a word. Something is nishpach kikiton, okay? Anyone who sees him is so scared of him that they spill like water. So what does it mean they spill like water? So one of the interpretations is his courage spills out like water. Basically, you know, he's scared out of his mind. Ashpato ki kever patuach kulam giborim. Okay, this is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Another saying, what does it mean, ashpato ki kever patuach kulam giborim? The context of this is talking about, if you look in Rashi, it tells you, it's b'chayalot shel Nebuchadnezzar k'tiv. Okay, we're talking basically about all sorts of enemies and their strength, right? And the whole idea is that even though the enemies have all the strength, we have God behind us, and that's more powerful than anything. So, and again, it goes with what we talked about at the very end of last class, which is why is the Torah or the Nevi'im bothering to tell us all these details about the enemies? And again, it's to show how mighty we are that we can overcome all these hurdles. So, Ashpato ki kever patuach kulam giborim, what does this mean? Rav Shmuel, v'amrele Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Asi. As it wasn't clear whether it was either a machlok at Rav Shmuel or a machlok at Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Asi. Chad Amar one said, b'sha'ash zorkim chetz, osim ashpatot shel chalalim. As soon as, right, they hit one arrow, and with one arrow, all of a sudden there's piles and piles, that's the ashpato, heaps and heaps of dead bodies. Maybe it's not that they're so smart, so strong, it's that they really know how to shoot well. So Talmud Lamar, Kulam Giborim, but it says in the Pasuk, they're all Giborim, which means they're strong and, right, they're capable of doing this. The Chanamar, the other opinion is, B'sha'asho Osim Tzorchehem, when they make, okay, they move their bowels, Osim Ashpatot, Ashpatot Shel Zevel. Okay, very large heaps of bowel movements. Okay, what's the idea here? That they're big people, right? The bigger you are, the more, the larger your bowel movements are going to be. And that's a sign of how big they were. V'shema tomar, this is a great option, right? Mipnei shechole me'ayim hen. Maybe they just have stomach problems. Talmud lomar, kulam giborim. Okay, it says they're so strong, which means that obviously explains why they're doing these heaps and heaps of bowel movements. I'm Rav Mary. Okay, now that we're on this, Shema Mina, Haiman de Nafesh Zivle, Chole Me'ayim Hu. Okay, now we know anybody who has large bowel movements, it's because they have problems. Lamai Nafkamina, why are you bothering to tell us this? Litrach Benafshe, so that he takes care of himself. Because Da'aga B'lev Ish, Yishachena. Okay, right, I think it's Yishachena, right? We're going to see, we're going to darshan it, but I think it's Yashchena. Okay, Yashchena. So that means if you have a Da'aga, right, you have a problem, you should take care of it. What does this mean, yashchena? What's the root of this word? Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Chadamar, yisachenu midaato. Okay, the darshan is a sin, not a shin, which means lahasiach da'at. You should try to get it out of your mind. In other words, if you have worries on your mind, how do you get it off your mind? Try to think about other things, and then you won't think about it. The Chadamar, yisichena la'achirin. You should talk about it to others. Facing your problems, right, and not sort of avoiding them, right? The first is sort of avoid them, try to just get your mind off of it. And the other is, no doubt, to talk about it with others, and that will help you resolve it. And obviously, you can come up with some sort of combination of these two, right? If you think about what people would advise nowadays, right? To a certain extent, it's good to talk about it. On the other hand, at a certain point, it's good to kind of get your mind off of it. Okay, we've totally sidetracked at this point, getting into psychological advice, how to deal with issues that you have. Okay, now we're back to the Mishnah. Okay, if you remember, the line said, where is it? The Yatim Kin, where is it? Right. Okay. The very last line of the Mishnah was, so Naflu Bnei Amon, the Bnei Amon, Ba'u Menitzchono Shel Shovach, Mahaya Sofo, Lasof Nafal B'Cherev, and Naflu Imo. Va'atem, Iatem Kain, Ki Hashem, right? You're not like those other leaders, like Shovach and Kol Yat. Why? Ki Hashem Elokechem Ha'olech Imachem Lilachem Lachem V'Gomer, Ze Machane Ha'aron, right? You have, you're the people of the Aron. You take the Aron with you to war. The Kol Kach Lama, why is the Aron, you know, what does it have in it? Mipnei Shehashem v'kol kinuyav murachim ba'aron. Okay, this is a strange thing. What does it mean? I thought we have the Luchot in the Aron, right? What's in the Aron? So the Tosfot Arosh talks about this, and he says, there's an opinion that there were two Aronot, and one had the Luchot. As first, one had the good Luchot, and one had the Shivrei Luchot. But when they got to the Beit HaMikdash, so they moved them all into one Aron, and then they kept the names of Hashem, whatever this means exactly, right, in the Aron. Okay, maybe they wrote out the Shem Hashem and all the Kinuyim inside this Aron, and that was the Aron they took with them to war. Okay? There's a few different opinions about it. Some people say, no, it was with the Shivrei Luchot, and that was the one they took to war. Okay, there was like a wooden Aron that they would take with them. V'chein hu omer, v'yishlach otam Moshe elef lamateh letzava otam ve'et Pinchas. Okay, so now we're going to darshan this pasuk. Okay, Moshe sends them out to war. Otam ve'et Pinchas. So Otam, Elu Sanhedrin. He sent out the Sanhedrin with them. Pinchas, ze meshuach melchama. Pinchas, why did he go out? He was the meshuach melchama. He was a Kohen. Remember, he descended from Eleazar, the son of Aharon. And he was a Kohen, so he must have been the meshuach melchama. Uklea kodesh. Okay, the rest of that pasuk, we didn't read the whole pasuk. Okay, it says, here, Bamidbar Lamed Aleph, number Aleph in the Torah, or Vayishlach otam Moshe elef lamateh latzava otam ve'et Pinchas ben Elazar kohen latzava uklei hakodesh v'chatzotrot hatrua biyado. So what is this klei hakodesh? Ze aron v'luchot shebo. Okay, here it says this is the aron with the luchot, because remember there was a difference according to Tosfot Arosh between the Beit HaMikdash when they moved into the Beit HaMikdash, and then it had Hashem v'kol kinu yav, but in the time of the yav, the Mishkan, it had the Aron and it had the Luchot in it. V'chatzotrot ha-trua, here's a very strange thing. Elu ha-shofarot. What do you mean the shofarot? Aren't they the chatzotrot? Right, it talks about in the Torah, when you go out to war, you blow the chatzotrot. So why is it saying shofarot? So some of the Mefreshim say that they called the shofarot, and they called the chatzotrot in those days shofarot. It was just a general term, and it doesn't mean shofar as opposed to chatzotra. But again, it seems strange, then why do you have to even darshan it? Anyway, it's a little bit of a questionable line there. Tana. Okay, now we're going to have a braita about this war that Pinchas went out to fight. Okay, if we're already quoting this, why did we quote this? We quoted this to prove that they go out with the Aram. So now they're going to talk about Pinchas. And why did Pinchas, why was he the Meshuach Melchama? Why did he go out to war? Lo lechinam halach Pinchas lemelchama, ela li para din avi imo. Okay, he went out against the Midianim to how do you say it, to exact revenge. For what?
Retribution.
Okay, for his mother's father. Okay, who's that? Shenemar v'hamidyanim machruoto el Mitzrayim. Why did he fight against the Midianim? Because they're the ones who sold Yosef to Mitzrayim. And Yosef was his, right, obviously it wasn't his father's side, because his father's side descends from Levi. But Yosef was his mother's father. How do we know that? So first the Gemara says, okay, so first of all, there's a question here. What is this Braita disagreeing? In other words, the first Braita said that Pinchas went out because he was the Meshuach Melchama. He was the one designated to be the one to speak to the people, right, to lead the people, the Meshuach Melchama. Some people say that this disagrees with it. And it says, no, he didn't go out as the Meshuach Melchama. He went out because he was the one who was going out to exact revenge. Other people say, no, they work together. The reason why he was chosen to be the Meshuach Melchama was dafka because, and then you have to wonder, so when they choose the Meshuach Melchama, do they choose specifically someone who maybe has some connection? You know, You have to wonder if there's ramifications for the future. So either it disagrees or it works in conjunction with.
They were supposed to inspire the people.
Right, they were supposed to inspire the people. So what better person to inspire the people than someone who has revenge?
To motivate them, right?
Right, to motivate, exactly. So it does make sense. But then it begs the question, what are you going to do in future generations? You know, it's not always... There's not always someone who needs to exact revenge against the nation they're fighting against. So, you know, it doesn't seem like... but right, it could be you just find the person who's going to motivate them the most for whatever reason it might be. Right. It's definitely... Okay. So now, how do we know? L'meimra de Pinchas mi Yosef ate? V'haktiv? Right, how do we know he came from Yosef? Doesn't it say, V'elazar ben Aaron lakach lo mi benot puti el lo li'isha? And where did Elazar... Who did, we actually know who Elazar HaKohen married. Okay, it says in Shmot Perek Vav, it says he took, right, and the Pasuk says, Vatele lo et Pinchas. Okay, this is Shmot Perek Vav, Pasuk Kafe. So he took from Beno Putiel. My love, in other words, who's Beno Putiel? Is this not Da'ate mi Yitro? Isn't this the daughters of Yitro? Why Yitro? Why is he called Putiel? Shepitem Agalim Lavodazara, because he fattened up Agalim, you know, the eagle, the I guess it's called Agalim, right? Egal.
Calves.
Right, I'm trying to think of how to pronounce it properly. But anyway, he fanned up the calves for the Avodah Zarah. So therefore, how could you say that his mother's father, right, his mother's father, she came from Yitro, not from Yosef. So now they say, Lo, mi Yosef. How do you darshan potiel? Shepitpeit bi Yitro. Okay, that he... He dealt with his Yetzer. How do they translate pit?
Scorned.
He scorned his Yetzer, okay? In other words, remember the whole thing we saw a few days ago, right? It was he was almost going to sleep with her, and he pushed away his Yetzer Hara, and he overcame it. So that's where the Lashon Putiel comes from, pit, okay? So then they say, wait a minute. So you're saying the Putiel comes from Yosef, basically. So he married from the daughters of Yosef, and that's why he was descended from Yosef, and that's why he went to go against him.
Since when does Yosef have a daughter?
Since when does Yosef have a daughter? Right. That's a good question. Right. Right. Either we don't... Well, you know what? They talk about the Shvatim having twin sisters. In other words, the daughters don't generally appear in the text, so it's possible that there were daughters that we just didn't know about. Or it could be from the daughters of the daughter, maybe. You know, maybe it's descended from... I don't know. It's a good question. So now, they say, wait a minute. V'halo Shvatim mevazimoto. But the Shvatim were Mevazed Pinchas. How so? Re'item ben potize? Ben shepitem avi imo agalim lavada zara yaharog nasimi Yisrael? Okay, when Pinchas, remember the whole big ma'amah, when Pinchas goes and kills Zimri, okay, who was the head of a Shevet Shimon, everyone got very upset with him, and they said, what is this? You know, here, the guy who descended from the one, right, this is a Midrash, obviously, because remember, it's unclear how positive or negative this act was. So, kind of like Shimon and Levi, right? It's the same kind of thing. Was it good in what they did in Shechem, or was it not so good what they did in Shechem? Also Pinchas. Yes, he gets this breach shalom, but on the other hand, obviously there was a little backlash for what he did. So they, when he got up, they said, how could, right, according to the Midrash, they said, the son of the person who was Pitei Magalim Lavodah Zarah, Yaharog Nasimi Yisrael, how could that be? So here you see that what? The Putiel is from Yitro, okay? At least according to that Midrash. So what do they answer? And say, right, they could say these are just two different Misarot about what exactly the truth was. But now they're going to say, no. Ela'i avua di'ime mi Yosef, ime di'ime mi Yitro. V'ime di'ime mi Yosef, avua di'ime mi Yitro. In other words, she came from, right, either her mother was from Yosef and her father was from Yitro, or vice versa, okay? In other words, she has two parents, right? The Benot Putiel means that she was the daughter of a union that came from someone from Yitro and someone from Yosef. Okay? And Daikanami Diktiv, and we can also learn this from the Pasuk, because it says, Mi Benot Putiel. It doesn't say Mi Bat Putiel, it says Mi Benot, right? Which means, obviously the Peshat means from among the daughters, right? He took one of the daughters. But here they say, no, it means Tre Mashma. It means that there were two Putiels, basically. Okay, Shma Mina. Okay, the Putiel darshans in both ways, that she came from both Yitro and from Yosef. Okay, which all explain to us why Pinchas went out to war against Midian. He led the way because he had He was the one who wanted to exact revenge against them for what they did for Yosef, his father. Now, there's a few different interpretations that I saw about this issue, that why is he exacting revenge for something that happened so long ago? Okay, and then there was, one second, let me see if I can find it. Right, the Maharal talks about, okay, this is quoted in the Koran, that it would seem a little strange, right? It happened so much, such a long time ago. So they say, either it could show that just it was a war of values. In other words, it was Yosef who stood for holding back his yetzer when it came to sexual issues, whereas Midian was known for sexual promiscuity, and that was the issue going on here, and that could be what the idea was. Okay, so that could be more like a war of values, of my father's values versus your nation's values. That's a way of understanding it. Okay, new Mishnah. V'dibru ha-shotrim el ha'am le'mor. Mi ha'ish asher bana bayit chadash v'lo chanacho, yelech v'yashuv le'beto. Okay, so now if you look at the psukim, okay, I brought the psukim on the sheet, right? So the first thing happens is, okay, kitzei se'el mechama lo'ivecha, v'rita susvarechev, right? And then don't be scared. And when you get close to the war, the Kohen goes and he speaks to the people and he says, Shema Yisrael, that was what we talked about last Mishnah, Al Yirach Levavchem, Al Tiru, Al Tafazu, Al Taratzu Mipnehem, right? The four Lashonot, which we said against the four Lashonot, the noises the enemy's going to make to scare you. And then we said, Ki Hashem Elokeichem, he's the one going to fight. And that was the whole thing we got into, God versus man-made, giants, etc., strong people. And then it says, okay, and you can see this in the colors and the underlines on the sheet. The next thing happens is v'dibru ha-shotrim el'am. All of a sudden, the shotrim come in, and they're the ones who say mi ha'ish asher bana bayit chadash v'lo chanacho, etc. And who made a kerem and then did, who planted a kerem, a vineyard, and didn't yet use it? Who got who was engaged to a woman and didn't yet marry her? Okay, all those people can go back to war. Can go back home. They don't have to go out to war. And then it says, "V'yasfu ha-shotrim l'daber al-am." And additionally, the shotrim continue, which clearly makes a break between the middle section and the last section. There's basically three sections. So then it says, they say, "Mi ha'ish hayareh v'racha levav," and then anyone who's scared, right, should go home. V'lo yimasa levav achiv kilavavo. Okay, that he doesn't scare his fellow soldiers. Okay, so now. Talk about the second section and the third section. Yeah.
Who are the shotrim?
So it's not so clear who these shotrim are.
Do you see them? Are they?
Right. Good question. I didn't yet notice a discussion about who exactly they are, although we did see that they were appointed. Right? That was what we saw last time. But I didn't see so much yet about who they are. I'm not sure if we're going to get into it at some point.
Is there any discussion whether there's a difference if this is Muhammad Mitzvah or Muhammad Rishut, or this?
That's a good question. So I'm sure there is. I don't know if it comes up here, but I do know there's a discussion about this. I think it's assumed it's a Muhammad Mitzvah. I'm sure.
Are there two in Muhammad Mitzvah?
Right. So that's a good question. Right, because then Apilu Chatami Chupato goes out to Muhammad Mitzvah. Right. So it could be this really is a Muhammad Rishut. I forget the discussion about this.
But like this. Aleph and Ben Lachamet Mitzvah and Gimel.
Oh, that's what you think? I don't think so. I don't think so. I have to look up the Mepharshim on these Pesukim. I don't remember the issue about Muhammad. I know there's an issue about is Muhammad Mitzvah, Muhammad Rishut. I don't remember. Okay. I have to look. Remind me after to write it down and I'll look it up.
It doesn't come up here though.
Not yet. I mean, not on this page. I haven't gotten much farther. Okay. So I don't remember. Okay, v'dibru ha-shotrim el'am. So now they say, mi ha'ish asher bana bayit chadash v'lo chanecho. Okay, you built a new house, but you haven't yet been mechanech the bayit, right, to go live in it. Yelech v'yashuv lebeito. Now they're going to say, what kind of bayit are we talking about? Echad ha-boneh beit ha-teven, u-beit ha-bakar, beit ha-itzim, beit ha-otzarot. Okay, if you build a, how do they translate beit ha-teven? A, what?
Oh, I'm guessing.
Barn for straw. A barn, it's a barn that houses straw. Okay, a barn that houses animals, a barn that houses trees, right? A storage house not exactly a barn, but a storage house for trees and a storage house for otzarot, right? For all sorts of things that you're storing. So all these storage houses, okay, even though Who really wants to live in a barn of animals that stinks, right? But because these are houses that potentially, if you needed to, you could live in them, right? You think about the Shoah, people lived in barns, right? And they were hidden by people in their barns. So really, people could live in these places. So because they have potential to live in, that's called a bayit. We're going to see soon the exceptions. Okay. Echad haboneh, whether you built it. Echad halokeach, whether you bought it. Echad hayoresh, even if you inherited. Ve'echad shenitan lo b'matana. Okay? Shenitan lo matana. If you got it as a gift. Meaning, even if you didn't work with your hands to build it, or even, right, you just paid money, or even if you didn't even pay money, right, you inherited it, or someone gave you as a gift, still, that's your new house right now, and you should have the rights to live in it for a year before you have to go out to war. Well, actually, we didn't get to the year yet. This is just, you haven't yet benefited from it. Umi ha'ish asher erasi sha v'chulei. Echad, so now, what does it mean, eras? Echad ha'ma'aris et ha'betula. Echad ha'ma'aris et ha'almana. What? Oh, I skipped. Sorry. Okay. Umi ha'ish asher nata kerem v'lo chililo. Echad ha'notea kerem, v'echad ha'notea chamisha ilanei ma'achal, v'chilo mi'chameshet ha'minim. Okay, you're thinking, what do you mean? Shivat ha'minim. This has nothing to do with the minim that we're talking about, Shivat ha'minim. Okay, what does this mean? Whether you planted a vineyard or you planted five trees, okay, not just a vineyard, but any five trees you plant, okay, five is the minimum number. Afilu mechamesh ha'minim means even if there are five different types of trees. Like, it's not like you planted an apple orchard, or right, and you planted five apple trees. No, if you planted an apple tree, an orange tree, a pomelo tree, you know, you planted five different trees, that's still enough to say. Okay, if you look in Rashi, you see that strange stars over there? Mm-hmm. See that? What is that? So that's the formation for five. It's the trees have to be in a formation like a vineyard, where it's two lines and then one as a tail, they call it. There's a few different opinions about whether the tail is in line with the two or in the middle of the two, like it shows in Rashi. Rashi has the opinion that it's like in the middle of the two. Okay, it's like in a particular formation. Right, there's a picture in the Schottenstein there of two different options. Okay, so that's the five trees. Echad ha-notea, one who plants. Echad ha-mavrich, okay, one who, this is called, I forgot the word in English. It's called, what?
Layers.
Okay, it means that you basically, you took a tree that was growing, you put the branch that was coming out of it into the ground. You planted it while it was still attached to the tree, so it's getting nourishment from the tree. And then once it starts to grow, you cut it off from the original tree and it grows its own tree.
Grafting.
No. So grafting is the next one. Oh, okay. Havracha is this process where you put it in the ground. And the next thing is echad ha-markiv. That's grafting. Okay, and that's where you take a branch from a tree and you put it into a different tree. Okay, and then you basically graft the tree, and then you grow, right, a new thing from that branch, from the other tree. V'chad ha'lokach, v'chad ha'yoresh, v'chad shenatan lo matana. Okay, the same thing now, whether you bought it, right, even if you didn't plant it, you bought it, you inherited it, or it was given to you as a gift. Umi ha'ish asher eras isha. So now we're going to talk about this erusin. He got engaged. What kind of woman did he get engaged to? Echad ha'mares et ha'betula, which obviously, because that's the ideal, right? We've seen this before, to marry betula. Ve'chad ha'mares et ha'amana, even if it was a widow. Va'filu shomeret yabam, even if you just did the mitzvah of yibum with her. Va'filu, right, which would be here, your ha'mares et ha'shomeret yabam, you did ma'amar. Remember this from yibum?
Right, you hadn't actually.
Okay, but you hadn't actually slept with her. Va'filu shama shemet achi b'milchama. Okay, even if you hear your brother died in the war, you're allowed to come back, chozer. Okay, you're allowed to go back from war to take care of the mitzvah of Yibum for this woman. Okay, which shows sensitivity to the woman, that she shouldn't have to be waiting that whole time without him coming back from war. Ubalo kol, chozer ubalo. Sorry, how does this read? Ubalo.
That's part of the last line.
Chozer ubalo.
Kol, he goes back.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Chozer ubalo. Kol elu, what's this, Aleph, one second, kol elu, right, ve'elu shouldn't be here, okay? Kol elu, all these people, shom'im divrei kohem archei mechama, v'chozrim, they all go back, all these categories, u'mistapkin mayim u'mazon, u'mitaknim et hadrachim. Okay, what do? They keep up the home front, right? They give water and food to people. They fix the drachim, the path, so that, I remember we talked about this in another context, right? That the roads always got messed up. They had to, right, this is in before the regel. You have to prepare the drachim in Shkalim or in Chagiga also. I think it came up if I remember correctly. Or in Loi Kata,
what
I forget.
Money you can use for it.
Right, well, but, right, in Shkalim it came up what money you could use for it. And I think,
and
right, and when you do it, right,
it
right, definitely in Shkalim, I think also otherwise. Anyway, Be'elu she'enan chozrin. Okay, now we're going to talk about people who don't go back. Habune beit shar achsadra umerpeset. Okay, you build a gateway. And achsadra is considered like one of those places where in the, you know, the Greeks, like they had those pillars. You can see a picture, actually.
We had it in Shabbos.
Oh, no, there's no picture here. There was a picture somewhere.
Right?
Here's an achsadra.
It's like a portico.
Okay, it's a roofed entrance, okay, in front of a house. Like there's a roof over it, and sometimes there's pillars coming down. Okay? That's an achsadra. Or a merpeset, right? Like a porch. Hanote arba ilanema achal, okay, four or obviously less. Vechamisha ilanei strap, or trees that don't bear fruits. Hamachzirat grushatel, remarries the woman he divorced. Amanala Kohen Gadol. Okay, this is a strange thing because what's the Kohen Gadol going out to war? Does he go out to war? Okay, and even there's a question whether Kohanim in general go out to war, not even just the Kohen Gadol. So they're saying, why is this even mentioned? It's a good question. Okay, some people say, you see from here, they did go out to war. Amanala Kohen Gadol, Grusha v'chalitza l'Kohen Ediot. Here's our series. Mamzerinu Netina l'Yisrael, Ba Yisrael l'Mamzeru l'Netin. Okay, it could be, by the way, I thought that maybe they don't really go out to war, but there was like a unit of all the psulei chitun. So they stuck this in, even if it's not necessarily relevant in this context. It was like a unit they had of all the psulei chitun, people you can't marry. All those people, since us trying to marry these people, if you got engaged to them, then you wouldn't stay home from war. Lo haya chozer. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af habone bayit al mechono, lo haya chozer. If your house fell apart and you rebuild it, then you also don't go back. Okay, that's Rabbi Yehuda, which seems to imply that Tanakam would say you would. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Af Habonei Bayit Lebeinayim Basharon. You remember the Sharon? Okay, our area. What was it known for?
The instability of the houses.
The instability of the houses, okay? And this had to do with the climate and the rains and the flooding. And this is why the Kohen Gadol would say a special tefillah for Anshei Sharon. It appears in our tefillot in Yom Kippur. Okay, we say it. Anshei Sharon, he would say a specific prayer. People like us. So if you would build, it was a temporary house because you knew that after like 3-4 years it was going to fall apart. So even a bayit habonev basharon lo haya chozer. Okay, he doesn't think you would go back for that. Whereas again, Tadakama would obviously say you would, otherwise he wouldn't have to say this. Okay, elu she'ein zazimim komam. Now we have the third category. So we have people who go back and they work the home front. We have people who don't go back and they go out to fight the war. And now we're going to see we have people who don't even have to work the home front. Okay, they don't go out to war, they go back, and they just stay home and live life as usual. Who are these people? Elu she'ein zazimim komam. Bana bayit v'chanacho. He built a house and he dedicated it. And now he has a year, basically, to enjoy it. Okay, there's this whole thing in the Torah about these three categories. If you build a house, if you're notea kerem, and if you got married, you're supposed to enjoy it for a year. There's this special thing about a year. So, he consecrated it, basically. It was good. Okay? Halalo means that he...
The three years
passed, okay? In other words, the whole thing is the first 3 years you can't eat it because of Orla. And then the fourth year, right, you bring it to the Beit HaMikdash, you bring it to Yerushalayim to eat. So that's what it means. In other words, you pass those 3 years. So basically, you have a patur for a whole number of years, right? The first 3 years, you don't go out to war, you stay and work the home front. The last, right, the fourth year, already that's your year to enjoy it, and therefore you don't go out to war and you don't work the home front. Okay, if he does marry the arusa or the yivama, shenemar naki yelebeto shanachat. Okay, so how did they darshan this pasuk? This is really a pasuk. It's really said about the guy who gets married. Okay, he's naki yelebeto shanachat. He gets this year where he's supposed to be v'samachat yishto. So now they darshan lebeto zebeto. That goes for your house. Yihyeh zekarmo, right? It could have just said naki lebeto. Okay, why does it say yihyeh? That includes your karen. B'simechet ishto, zo ishto asher lakach. Lavi et yivim to. Okay. Sorry, asher lakach, right? Sorry, ishto is ishto. Why does it say asher lakach? And that says, Lahavi Adivim Cho, to include the Yavama. And then they say, Amos Bekimayim Mazon, Ve'ema Taknim Et Adrachim. Okay, they don't even have to do that. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, Braita. Now we're going to get into the different sections that I put in color on the sheet. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. V'dibru ha-shotrim. When the shotrim start talking, Yachol Varim Shalatzmam, sounds like, right, you would have thought, they speak their own words. Kishuhu omer v'yasfu ha-shotrim, Harei Varim Shalatzmam amor. Hamani mekayem v'dibru ha-shotrim. They're trying to say, why does it say v'yasfu? And additionally, they added. They added seems to be like they added their own thing, which means like what they said before wasn't necessarily their own thing. So then, what do they say? When it said, it's talking about they spoke the words of the Mashuach Melchama. Haketzad, Kohen Medaber v'Shoter Mashmia.
It's like the Meturgeman we saw.
Exactly, like the Meturgeman. So the Kohen would speak, and that's, right, and what would they do? They would say it out loud. They'd be the microphone, so to speak. Tanichada, there's one brayta that says, Kohen Medaber v'Shoter Mashmia, like we said. But there's another brayta that says, Tani idach kohen medaber v'kohen mashmia. V'tani idach, and there's a third one that says, shoter medaber v'shoter mashmia. So how could that be? Amar bai haketzad. Mi v'nigash, and this is why I put in color, okay? From the first section, mi v'nigash, right, v'nigash v'kohen medaber ala'am, ad v'dibru kohen, av'dibru, kohen medaber v'kohen mashmia. The first section that I put in blue, that the kohen says and the kohen vocalizes to everybody. Okay, so the next section, Kohen medaber v'shoter mashmia. That's the red section. The red section, the shotrim, the Kohen would say it, and the shotrim would be the ones to speak out loud. Mi vayasfu v'elach shoter medaber v'shoter mashmia. Okay, then it would be the shotrim would do the last section on their own without the Kohen. Mi ha'ish asher bana bayit chadash. Tana rabbanan. Asher bana en li'ela asher bana. Lakach v'yarash v'nitan lo b'matana minayin. And it says, Isha sher bana. So the pasuk seems to imply only bana. Where do we learn all the other things? If he got it as a gift, etc. Talmud lomar, mi ha'ish asher bana. Ha'ish seems to imply we're including something else. Okay, bayit. Now it says asher bana bayit. Now we're working on that word. Ein li'ela bayit. Minayin l'rabot, beit ha'tev, beit ha'bakar, beit ha'itzim, beit ha'otzarot. All those places that people can live in. Talmud lomar, Asher bana. I could have just said mi'aish shebana. Why does it say asher bana? Asher bana comes to include other things that, as long as they're worthy of living in, that's fine. Asher bana mikomakom. Yachol shanim rabeh apavoneh beit sharach sadra mupeset. So then, why don't we include anything that maybe potentially someone could live in? Tamud lomar bayit. Ma bayit haroi ledira af kol haroi ledira. It has to be similar to a house, right? A roofed porch is not going to really be a good place to live. Or a sukkah. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, bayit kemashma'o. Bayit sounds like, no, really a bayit. Lo chanach, velo chanacho. Okay, so now he's going to say, it says, bayit velo chanacho. It doesn't say lo chanach. So they're saying, because it says lo chanach, but it also says lo chanacho, in other words, it adds that extra vav, prat legazlan. That comes to exclude. Lo chanacho means he didn't dedicate it. It means to exclude. So what's it excluding? It's excluding if you stole a house. Okay? If you steal a house, you don't get a year's dispensation for that. Lema deloka Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Maybe this doesn't hold like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Why? Di Rabbi Yossi Aglili ha'amar b'racha levav. You're going to like this one. Someone who's soft of heart. Zeha mikere me'averot shebiado. That's someone who's scared of averot, meaning that someone who stole a house shouldn't go to war because he's scared of his averot, and he's worried he's going to get killed at war. And again, what's the concern always? Right, there's a big question here. Again, we don't have a lot of time, so we're not going to get into this, but there's a big question. I'm going to just raise it as to what if these people want to go out to war, right? We all know these stories about people who just got married and went out to war, right? This happened, unfortunately, recently. And right after their wedding, they went out to war, and, you know, and whereas the Torah says you're patur in this case. So there's a question about whether you're allowed to volunteer if you want to. And some of them approach him say you're not because you're going to affect other people. In other words, you're going to be more concerned and therefore your morale, you know, there's a whole issue of morale and war. And that, it clearly says it in the Pasuk even, right? We don't want him to scare other people. So that's why this guy, even though you think a criminal now gets to not go to war, on the other hand, the issue is that we're scared of what effects he's going to have on other people. Okay?
I think that whole issue also goes back to what we said at the beginning of, is it Mechamet Rishut or is it Mechamet Mitzvah?
Right, so then it might depend on Mechamet Rishut or Mechamet Mitzvah, exactly. Right. But maybe there's a difference, whereas a Mechamet Mitzvah, right, even the Chatam Michupato has to go. So that's why I assume that it means a Mechamet Mitzvah, Rishut, all this talk. But like I said, I need to look it up to be definitive about it. So now they say, Afilu Tamar Rabbi Yossi Aglili, it could be that he's talking about a stolen house in what situation? Okay, we're going to have to find a stolen house situation where he's not a criminal. So what could that be? He stole the house, then he does tshuva, and he gives the person the money for the house that he stole. So then they say, wait a minute, but then he actually purchased the house, and then he should go back. So what do they answer? Since he stole the house, originally it got to his hands as a stolen property, even though he later rectified the situation, still, so he's no longer doesn't have haperopi ado, but according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, he wouldn't be patur, but therefore, according to, you could say, even Rabbi Yossi Aglili would agree that he would be able to go back home, I'm sorry, he would have to go out to war in this case, because even though he doesn't have haperopi ado, but it's stolen. He doesn't get a tour for having stolen it. Next thing. Umiya ish asher nata kerem. Now we're going to see the exact same type of drasha here. Tanu Rabbanan, asher nata. Ein li ela nata. It sounds like only if you planted. Lakaf, what if you bought? Yarash, inherited. Nitala b'matana minayin. Tamud lamar. Umiya ish asher nata. Right? It says the exact same thing. Aish comes to include other people. What would it include? Anyone who got it from some other way. Again, obviously not stealing. Kerem, Emiela Kerem. Kerem sounds like just a vineyard. Minayin l'raboch hamishai l'nema achal, v'afilu mishar minim. Where do we learn that it could be trees also? Tamud lomar, asher nata. Not just nata, but asher. Asher comes to include. Includes even trees. Yachol sh'ani marbeh hanotea arba'a ilanema achal, v'chamishai l'nesrach. Maybe it would also include even four trees. By the way, this five number comes from a kerem. That's the number for a kerem. It has to be five different things, you know, five things planted for it to be considered a kerem. The chamishah l'nesrak and not fruit-bearing trees, maybe that would be the case. It would be included. Tamud lamar, kerem. It says kerem, it has to be like a kerem. It's meant for eating and it has a certain minimum amount. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov omer, kerem kimashma'o. Okay, kerem means like it sounds. It has to be a kerem. So he disagrees. Lo chilel velo chililo. In other words, why does it say again? Right, last time he said lo chanach velo chanacho. In other words, it says velo chililo. Specifically, this prat lemavrichu lemarkiv. He excludes someone who does the. I forgot what mavrich is translated.
Layers.
What the layering or the grafting? Okay, so now this obviously disagrees with our Mishnah. Remember, because ours said. Okay, v'hanan t'nan, didn't we learn in our Mishnah? And this is what the chart on the page is about. T'nan, v'hanan t'nan, didn't we learn in our Mishnah? Echad hanoteh, v'echad hamavrich, v'echad hamarkiv. So why does he say that these are excluded? Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbi Chista. Okay, so now we're going to spend most of the rest of the daf on this issue. Lo kasha, kam bahar kavat isur, kam bahar kavat heter. This sounds very much like, I'll just preface it by saying there's some other interpretation of this, but we're not going to get into it. But this sounds like what we said before. If you did it be'isser, right? In other words, there's ways of grafting that's mutar. Notice, by the way, they don't relate to the layering at all. Okay, it's a question that's asked about this. What happened to the layering? But either you could say the layering is the same type of thing, or maybe layering wasn't very common and therefore they just didn't deal with it. But here they say, if you grafted be'isser, then you can't go back. But if you grafted beheter, then you can. Okay, what is grafting beisur, grafting beheter? So grafting beisur is when you take two different types, like kilayim. Okay, but if you graft the same type, then it's allowed. So now they're going to say, well, what type of, what's this harkavat heter? Okay, now if you see the structure, we're going to have, just look at the sheet for a minute because it'll help you follow. We're going to have this question, what's this harkavat heter, hechidami? What's it like? What are we talking about? They're going to give one answer, and then they're going to go into other things, and then they're going to go back later to a second answer. So I'm just letting you know where that's going to be the structure. They're going to get distracted before they get back to the second answer. So, hi har kavat heter hechidami. Ilema yalda b'yalda. If you take a young tree with a young tree, meaning it's still within the years of Orla, So typically, debai mihadar mishum yalda rishona. In other words, it's not because of the grafting that you're going back home. It's because it hasn't yet passed the years of Orla, and therefore you're allowed to stay home for that reason. Ela yalda b'skena, but if you take a young tree and graft it onto an old tree, baha amar Rabbi Avahu yalda shesibcha b'skena b'teila yalda b'skena. The fruits that now grow from that new branch that you grafted onto it, if you take a young branch and graft it onto an old tree, the fruits that grow from that new branch don't have dinei orla at all. So therefore, you clearly can't go back to war for that because it's batel to this kena. And you basically have an old tree. It's not a new tree. You don't have this whole issue of eating the new fruits from it. Ve'en la din orla. So I'm a Rabbi Yirmiya, so therefore what could it be? Rabbi Yirmiya says, la'olam yalda b'yalda. It's you grafted a young tree onto a young branch onto a young tree. Ukegon dinata lahach kamaita lisiagu lekorot. But the first tree was patur from orla because you planted it for the purposes, okay, now we're going to learn that if you have intent, when you plant this tree, you're planting it for the wood, right? You want the wood to build beams, okay? You're not planting it for the fruits. Now, it might be a fruit tree, but you're not planting it for the fruits. Or you're planting it for siag, to make, you want to use a tree as a border between your house and your friend's house, okay, your neighbor's house. So therefore, it's patur, okay, ditnan, hanotel siag lekorot patur mina orla. And now you graft this young tree, this young branch, onto that. And now when you graft it, you're grafting it for the fruits. Okay? You want it to grow fruits, so now it has a chiyuv of orla. So now they say, wait, but then we have a question. Umayshna yalda bizkena de betela. Umayshna yalda de lo betela. In other words, we just said that when you do a yalda onto a skena, it's betela to the big tree, right? The skena. So if you do a yalda onto a yalda, and the yalda was meant for siag and korot, it should be batel to the siag and the korot. And therefore, you shouldn't, again, it shouldn't have dinei orla. So they're saying, here we're saying it's not batel. So there's a difference. Because hatam imim lechale lav bat mihadar hi. If you change your mind about what you want to do, it like hacha imim lechale bat mihadar hi. That is, if you change your mind about that tree that was a yalda, and you say, I want to turn this into a fruit-bearing tree that I want to eat from, as opposed to using it for beans, then you can actually go back for it. Dahame ikara leperikaima. In other words, originally it was meant for fruits. You just decided you wanted to use it for something else. But since it's just your intent, that can switch in a minute, and therefore we don't. When we graft on this new tree, we don't say it's batel to the original tree, because you can change, even the status of the original tree can be changed and come back into Dine Orla, whereas this Kena will never be back in Dine Orla because it's this Kena. You already passed those years. You don't have that issue. Midi dehava a'alume alehem. It's just like if a tree grows by itself without, in other words, there's intention for it not to be a fruit-bearing tree, and there's intention for it to be a fruit-bearing tree, right, that you're going to use for the fruits. What if you didn't have intention at all? Alume alehem. Let's say a seed falls and a tree grows from it. Ditznan alume alehem chayavim ba'orla. Okay, you are chayav in orla. And therefore, what do you see here? That therefore, if you have this tree that you intended for something else, but you change your mind about it, it would obviously go back into Dine Orla, just like a tree that would grow by itself would have Dine Orla. Okay? Now, like I said, we're getting distracted. That was all to answer this question, what was the type of tree that was Harkavat Heter? So now they're saying, but if you go back to what we were up to, we had this machloka, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov and the Mishnah, right? And we were trying to resolve the contradiction between, not a machloka, we had a contradiction. So now we're saying, the Lukma, why didn't you just say that the difference between the Mishnah and Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov is Bekerem Shel Shnei Shutafim? That the Mishnah is talking about a case of a Kerem that was owned by two people. And Dehai Hadar Adidei, Vahai Hadar Adidei. And each one went back, why did it say Achadon Mavrich Ve'Achadon Markiv? It was something that belonged to two people. And each person was going back on for their own half. And then that would, how does that resolve it? Because then you would say, one second.
You're part owner, you're not exempt.
One second. Right, the harkava, and what they're saying is one person owned the tree and one person owned the part that was harkav to that. And therefore, you would say that they're each patur because of their part. They each have a stake in it. And that's why he said it was okay. So Amar Rav Papa, as opposed to, right, if you did it to your own tree, then it would either go by the Zkena or the Yalda. In other words, either it goes by what the original tree was. Everything would be batel to the original tree. And if your tree was old, it was old, and you didn't go back. And if your tree was young, then you go back anyway. And that's why it said not the Markiv, that it's Prat Markiv, because that doesn't add any additional thing. But here, each one is owned by a different person. And then you would think, here we're going to see in a minute, that each one goes back to their own. So Amar Rav Papa, the fact that they didn't give that explanation, Zot Omeret, Kerem Shel Shnei Shutafin, Ein Chozrim Alav Me'arachei Mechama. Okay? That you don't go back if two people own it. In other words, anything that's jointly owned doesn't allow you to go back. So now they say, wait, I don't understand. Maishna, let's compare it to this. Mechamei Shetachim Omeret Achav Me'am B'Mechama. Dekulan Chozrim. If the brother dies in war, everybody goes back. In the case where there's a chiyuv of yibum, where the brother didn't have children, all the brothers go back because they're all potential yivamim. So they say, there's a difference between that and all the owners of the kerem go back, because hacha hatam koch havachad krinam beishto. All of them are potential husbands, right? They're all considered the yabam, basically. They all have the name yabam on him. But hacha, until one of them marries her, right? But until then, they're all potentials. Hacha, kocha v'cha, lo kriina be'karmo. But this kerem is not called in the name of any one of them, okay? This is interesting in terms of the way they called things in those days, right? If you owned a kerem jointly with someone, it wouldn't be called per se in your name. Okay, we'll end here for today. We'll pick up tomorrow, and we'll go back and review the structure so that we can follow where they're going with it.